In this podcast episode, I'm going to give you the 12 audience retention tips for holding your audience's attention.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey now. All right, all right. So look, let's just get started right off the top. A lot of really nice audience feedback, but it's been a long time since yours truly was a talk show host. So this was the first official week since I was on radio that I earned myself some hate mail. And I always think it's interesting, the right way to deal with hate mail. You know, when I was 26 on the radio on the number one station in Arizona, I didn't understand at the beginning the right way to deal with hate mail. It used to eat me up inside, but one of our loyal listeners sent me this. Todd, so make more PR videos by hiring you, right? That's like asking the Manson family to buy more Miss Manners books. Why not tell your clients to first not hurt customers and not treat them badly, not screw up their constitutional rights of citizens? And don't they teach you basic human rights in your stupid PR courses, you moron? All right, Chin, thank you for that message. This one was like water off the duck's back because I don't even know what to make sense of any of this information. But anyway, nonetheless, thanks for reaching out and sharing your thoughts. We also got a lot of really nice feedback from our audience this week. And in this episode, as I mentioned in the open, I'm going to give you the 12 audience retention tips and how to use it. But first, let me also tip off some other people that responded back, like Bill Cupper at Digital Farm. He said, at the Todd Hartley getting caught up on the podcast, you guys killed it with episode 71, a new high mark of golden nuggets per minute. Hey, Bill, I totally agree. Episode 71 is a fun episode for anybody that wants it. Go to wirebuzz.com/71. In the last episode, I gave you a homework assignment to create your own handheld video for one-on-one engagement. Now, this is like perishable videos, okay? They're going to get old. You're going to use them for one-on-one engagement. They can be low quality. They could be a selfie video that you're going to be filming. And they're going to send it to a client or a customer to develop a deeper relationship. And to test, I asked you, either send it to a loved one or, because you may love me, send it my way. And as such, many of you took my homework assignment seriously. And one listener, Randy, well, he said,
each and every day that I've listened to you, and I've listened to what I believe is almost all of the podcast, there's a call to action to leave comments, give you recommendations, and tell you what we think. So it's a little difficult because there wasn't anything you really could have done differently. When you moved on into giving the two podcasts a week, breaking the news away from the content, it was fantastic.
Thank you, Randy. Super cool of you, man. We love doing this. Anything else I can help you with, Randy?
Now, I have to let you know that I listen to the podcast while I walk, and I walk about an hour and a half every day. So searching through what you could possibly do better, I thought I would leave you this suggestion. So if you could make your podcast exactly 1.5 hours, it would really work out perfectly for me.
All right, Randy, I'm going to do my best to make this podcast episode for you and you only 1 hour and 30 minutes. It's a daunting task, but we are going to make sure, and hopefully the rest of you are as dedicated to this podcast as Randy.
I really enjoy every one of them that I've watched. I'd say all of them, but I know Marcus would probably be checking my IP address and tell me that I missed one or two.
Actually, Randy, to set the record straight, Wirebuzz's Director of Strategy, Marcus Krieg, is here. Marcus?
Todd, we noticed Randy only listened to 80% of episode 7. An easy way to remember episode 7, Randy, is that's the number worn by Yankees legend and Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle.
Awesome. Thank you, Marcus. We're just trying to hold Randy accountable here. Randy, get caught up on episode 7, all right? I'm just joking, Randy. We really didn't look into the data, but we probably guessed there might be one or two there. Thank you very much for your nice feedback. We appreciate it. And for anybody else that would love to give us feedback, man, we love it. It helps us perfect our process and become better marketers. So coming up in the next episode, I'm going to break down the latest video marketing news, and we're going to be talking about a head of state, literally a head of a nation that today left his footprint in the video marketing world. We have an exclusive interview that's going to be coming up in the next episode, episode 82. But in this episode, I want to talk to you about the 12. And yes, there are 12 audience retention tips for holding and maintaining your audience's attention. And that's why I'm joined right now by Christopher Janelle. Christopher is our ops lead at Wirebuzz. Christopher, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi. Usually I just do a quick soundbite here and there just for comic relief, but now I'm actually going to be contributing to
You're going to jam with me in this episode.
Awesome.
You cool with that?
I'm awesome.
All right. So Christopher and I were starting to detail out. There are 12 audience retention elements that you need to know about. The first one is audio quality. Look, even when we do our Facebook live events, which we know is going to be inferior quality, we're always super conscious about getting high quality microphones on the subjects. Why is that an important audio retention quality, Christo?
Audio is actually the thing that sets any professional video apart from all other videos. It's not image quality. It's not the performance of the person on camera. It's how good the audio is. And back in film school, they used to tell us that is one of the big things that sets you apart is how good your audio is. And, you know, that's half of what video's for is the visual and being able to hear clearly and not be distracted by, you know, room, you know, like a big room and or any other kind of noises or distractions.
Yeah, it happens to be something that I'm quite interested in because, you know, my career started in radio back in the day when radio was, right? And so whenever somebody would call in, and it didn't matter if it was a senator or somebody running for president, if they were on a cell phone, everybody would know it. So we were always doing as high quality of interviews as possible because we knew that if the audio, just like on video, if the audio isn't ready for prime time, your audience will check out.
Mm-hmm. And the main point of a video is always to keep the attention on what the subject is saying and what message you're trying to convey in that video. And poor audio will remove you really quickly from that.
People pull the ripcord right away, right? They'll jump out.
Yep.
All right, so the first one is audio. The second most important is lighting. Now, most of this list is not prioritized, but I think you could go to any video marketer and ask for the two most important, and they say audio and lighting. Lighting's so important. My first video, you know, I think I threw out the number yesterday. Somebody asked me how many videos in my career, and I think it's got to be somewhere around, I don't know, maybe 15,000 videos. And my first video, if I showed it to you, which you, Christo, will never see that first video because the audio sucked and the lighting was green.
It's buried.
It is buried.
We buried it.
Yes.
And, it's out in the desert.
And Dr. Harness, who some of you might know as the medical director of our breast cancer awareness campaign, Breast Cancer Answers, that we launched, was that subject matter. And he heckles me all the time for the green video.
Oh, it was green?
It was
I don't think I've seen this one.
You'll never see it. This was before Breast Cancer Answers. This is like 2006, 2007.
Yeah, lighting sets any video apart. You can make a good video with your phone. You can make a good video with a GoPro. You can make a good video with any cheap camera as long as the information's compelling and that you can actually see what's going on, that you shoot in an environment that camera is capable of recording. So if you are shooting on something low quality, I think it's probably good to turn on the lights, not face a window, you know, have the light bouncing on you instead of having a big, you know, blown out window behind right. You. So consider those things. Consider the space you're in, the type of camera, and, you know, make sure it looks good to you. Don't just shoot it, you know, make sure it looks good on the screen. Record a test shot and say, like, would I actually watch this? Does this look good? You know, that's probably a good barometer of would somebody else watch this?
Oh, absolutely.
And lighting plays such a huge role into that.
It's huge. Actually, I think lighting is significantly more difficult than audio. I mean, audio, all you're really doing is using higher end equipment, you're connecting them, and you're putting the microphone in the right spot and adjusting the levels. Super easy. But lighting has a lot more complexity to it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of finesse there. There's a lot of experience there. If you're doing on the low end of video production or just getting started, it's nice to just maybe just get a simple light kit just to have some light. But I mean, you could, I'm sure if we had Strons on the show today, he could speak for days on proper lighting techniques, how to light an interview, how to make it dramatic, how to make it, you know, how to light for more uplifting things. You know, there's so much you can do with lighting to paint the picture and tell the story with just the lighting. So it can go on for days.
Well, we would have had Strons and dragged him in the studio to talk about lighting, but Strons is at NAB with other members of our team, National Association of Broadcasters, looking at the new equipment that's rolling out. And I've been getting text messages for starting yesterday when they got there on cool things that they're seeing. No doubt a lot of fun being had in Vegas. So audio, lighting. The third one is use captions. Now, using captions isn't only important for people who are hearing impaired, but using captions is vital when you're on social media and the videos are autoplay. I think we're seeing something like 80% of views off of social are happening in those kind of situations. So I want you to think about how you can use captions in the lower third. When I say lower third, it's the lower third of the screen. So the bottom where you would see somebody's name appear is the right spot for captions. My sister said it best. She said, Todd, I'd rather read your captions than to hear you speak, but it's been that way our whole life. And
that kind of goes against what we tell everybody. You'd rather watch a video than read, but having the captions on there is still super, super valuable. I find myself in a ton of situations where I may not be able to put in my headphones, but I still want to watch a video. So I'll just, you know, mute that audio on my phone, turn on the captions, and then I can still know what's going on. It's great for social media. I think we discussed that before.
Yep. I'm actually, I you know, as I'm going through my phone and a video starts autoplaying, I can't believe how much of that video I'm actually reading, right? Which is really interesting because the big theory is reading feels like work. Don't make people work to have to ingest your core messaging. And yet we want you to use captions when possible on social because most people on social are going to have those videos play for them on autoplay. But on your website, I think it makes more sense to not have captions by default displaying.
No, that's true. And the other thing to consider with captions as well is translations. It's an easy way, maybe not easy, but it's a great way to use your video for, you know, other languages, mm-hmm. a bilingual audience. If you have an audience that may not have English or, you know, whatever your native language is, put the captions in their language. They can enjoy the video, view the video, and still understand it. We're actually in the middle of doing a Japanese translation, which for us non-Japanese speakers is really challenging, but it makes that video asset so valuable to our client.
Yep.
For their Japanese audience.
So we have a lot of clients that we're creating videos for and then creating the repurposing it in multiple languages. It mostly happens in an animation video because animated characters, they're multilingual. Like they speak more languages than the Pope. And you would never know because everything syncs up with their lips. And then all you're doing is changing text on screen and you're changing the voiceover. And it's a very affordable way to create one video and then repurpose it into 5 to 7 different languages. The one that you're doing right now in Japanese, is that animation?
It is not animation. It's a testimonial video. But we just transcribed the video and then gave it to a Japanese translator to translate that into Japanese characters so that they could use it.
Great. Did you recommend doing it in Japanese, what is it called, anime?
Oh, yeah. We'll just recreate the whole video in anime. Actually, I would have loved that. That would have been amazing.
Now, the next thing we want to mention about captions is we want you to upload those captions. Let's say you're on YouTube, okay? I want you to upload those captions into the closed captioning system on YouTube. Keep in mind, YouTube and Google are really smart robots, but they don't read video very well. So you want to use those captions for people who are hearing impaired. You also want to benefit from the added search results. And I saw a study, I believe, in Search Engine Land, which is a digital marketing nerd website, and I frequent it daily. And I saw a story that said, when you add your closed captions into YouTube, you increase the lifetime views of that video by 13%. Now think about the value of being able to increase the views, increase the comprehension, right? All of it starts to magnify and it builds stronger ROI in the long run. So recognize there are so many benefits when using captions to your advantage, and you may also use them in the descriptions. Write a little description above it to support it. So now you've got keywords and all the appropriate areas for the search engines to be able to find you. Make sense? Good. All right, to recap, audio quality, lighting, use captions whenever possible. And the fourth one is switch camera angles frequently. Now, the reason you want to switch camera angles is you want to engage the frontal lobe of the brain. If you go and look at television now, television and movies switch camera angles or cuts like every 3 seconds. What they're doing is they're not allowing the audience to become passive or bored. Check this out. I saw a study recently of the top 100 songs. And like 20 years ago, the top 100 songs before the words came on, before anybody started singing anything, had 22 seconds of musical introduction. I haven't even talked to Christo about this. He's looking at me, what, really?
Luke, where are you pulling these stats? 22
seconds, okay, if you averaged out the top 100 songs. In 2015, if you averaged out the top 100 songs, how many seconds of buildup before somebody started singing?
Oh, it's probably less than a second. It's probably like
five.
It's five?
You are off by five times.
Well, that's still pretty quick, though.
It's very quick, but it's really an indicator that as the audience changes, the market adjusts to that audience. So make sure that you're adjusting as a marketer to engage the frontal lobe of the brain, to bring your audience back in, provide them new angles. If you're only using one camera, here's the pro tip. If you're using a 4K camera, you've got really nice resolution. You can punch in, meaning zoom, and then punch out in post-production and still retain a true enough image quality that your audience will feel like they're watching multiple cameras. They're just going to be coming from a very similar focal plane.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other thing that we always do on our shoots is, you know, film it once with a wide angle, film it again with a closer angle.
And we do that all the time.
That gives you variety. It makes it easier in the editing room to have something to cover.
Yep.
You'll have another take. You'll have another angle to cut to. That visual variety is really helpful to engage people and keep their attention.
When you're the person on camera, it kind of sucks when you have to do it twice, right? It's hard enough to do it once and to get a bunch of good takes. But when you're the editor and you're in post-production, what a blessing it is to have those different camera angles, those different takes to be able to cut back and forth from and do it in such a fast, quick pace that people just start jamming along with you. Oh, that's our reminder for Randy. Randy, take a hydration break on your walk right now. All right, the fifth tactic to re-engage your audience's attention and keep them interested is to use B-roll. Now, B-roll is a really interesting element that I recommend adding in your videos. It separates a average video to a great video. It's how you can tell more by showing it. And we recommend it on our clients' videos all the time. Let me give it to Christo. Christo, on behalf of the Wirebuzz team, will you define B-roll?
B-roll is all the shots that isn't a person speaking directly to camera. So it's shots of a product, it's shots of nature, it's shots of actions, it's any shots that don't involve dialogue that you need to hear. It's supplementary.
But it has to fit within the context.
Yep, it has to fit within the context of what's being heard or right. what's being said.
So to give you an example, let's say you are a restaurant, right? And you're a chef giving the recipe of the week to your Facebook friends, right? And as you're explaining, you put a pinch of garlic and a little pinch. This is my friend who's a, he's a chef. It's exactly what it sounds like, okay? You put a little bit of tarragon. What you're doing is you're moving away from his face as he's talking, and now you're using B-roll of him grabbing the pinch of garlic and a little bit of the tarragon and dropping it in. Always think when you're creating your videos, all right, this is what I'm going to be talking about, but how do I shoot and what B-roll should I be shooting so I can make this video even more awesome?
Because I'm watching a video to see something. I'm not watching a video to hear about it.
Right.
You know, I want to see it in action. I want to see it being used. I want to see how it's applied. So if it's a video about a product, I want to see it in action. I want to see it in use. If it's a video about a service or a company, I want to see the friendly faces. I want to see them at work in their day-to-day.
And in most cases, you're going to be showing something that is more valuable for somebody to visually see it than it is for them to watch your lips move while you're saying it. In fact, Christo, you were on a shoot in Atlanta. And you did a video with a gentleman, and he's a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys took him out when he went cycling. And I just saw the finished video. So I'm going to guess you guys filmed a ton of B-roll of him going through mud, of him going up a road, going down a road, fixing a tire, putting on his helmet, right? You did everything.
With B-roll, it's all about variety too. You want those wide shots. You want those close shots. You want, you know, even if it's one subject doing one thing, you want as much variety as you can think of for that one subject to do. So yeah, that's what we did. We did the bike going uphill, the bike going downhill. We did just focusing on the spokes going uphill, the spokes going downhill. We got, you know, the helmet going on, the helmet coming. We get all that stuff because that helps the editor when you're back in post-production paint that picture and make just such a much more compelling and vivid story.
The editor's actually going to find some type of symbolism in the B-roll that they can make a really profound story out of. I mean, you just can't have enough B-roll. I highly recommend that whenever you're filming, you get yourself also B-roll. I do a lot of my own videos here at Wirebuzz. I post them whenever possible. I like to go around and shoot some B-roll. I like to be a practitioner about video marketing and not just be a nerd talking about it. And I enjoy that so much, but I've noticed that I can keep my audience significantly more engaged to the end of the video if I supplement my words with some really strong visual representation and B-roll.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the things we've been talking about today, you know, like the audio, the lighting, switching camera angles, and now the B-roll, even though we're only up to five in this list, it's about layering on the most compelling, the most interesting videos, layer on these things. So if you're just getting started, you know, start small. You may not have the lighting, the audio, you may not have the best cameras, but, you know, layer on maybe a second camera angle if you're just doing videos for you, to your customers, to your employees, and then maybe layer on some B-roll to that. So I think these items and these tips that we use every day, we kind of, not that we take them for granted, but we kind of are just used to them. These are our tools. These are our paint colors that we use to create great videos. But I think for those people looking to, you know, maybe start somewhere small, it's layer these things on, you know.
Absolutely.
Add them little by little.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't cut your B-roll session short. They're extremely valuable, and they're so valuable they made this 12-point list of holding audience attention, starting with audio, lighting, captions, changing cameras, B-roll. And now let's talk about number six, which is using animation and motion graphics to create movement or to tell a deeper story. Now, when we're selling video projects, we're often, when we go through the scripting phase and we start to pull together scripting phase comes first after strategy, of course. Everything starts with strategy. Then you go into scripting. The strategy influences the script. And then when you're done with the script, then the next stage is to storyboard. The thing that's really cool about storyboarding is as you're going through and reading the script, on the other side of the page, you've got a box, an open vacant box, where you're saying, before you get out on location, is there any B-roll we should be filming and adding into this box here? Or should we be creating motion graphics or animation that could tell this nuanced thing in a more compelling or an easier way than the B-roll or the spoken talking head?
Exactly. Animation and motion graphics is kind of, it's like a playground for the imagination. We can't always go out and film everything in the world, and we can't always visually tell a story with B-roll or just by filming somebody
and
doing
something.
When you're
in LA, you might not even get a license to film outside.
Yeah,
Didn't we experience that?
Exactly. Right. So we go to the next best thing, which is animation and motion graphics, and that really allows you to paint a picture and tell a story without ever kind of leaving the post-production studio. Lets our animators kind of use their imagination to best visually represent an idea for a particular video.
So to give you an idea, we recently finished 45 animation videos for AAA. And these are like a video for each one of their service lines. And if anybody gets the AAA magazine like I do, you'll know that AAA has at least 45 different service lines. It's got a very complex business with a lot of moving pieces. And so companies that are trying to tell a complicated story, often they can cut corners by using the animation or motion graphic route to tell a deeper, more compelling story.
Yeah, and I think maybe a good way, we may have not explained this, but animations, we typically, you know, animations are, of course, motion, but usually we think of them in terms of characters or shapes, kind of more abstract things representing something.
Yep.
Our motion graphics are usually text. So how do we manipulate words on screen? How do we animate things on and off? So that's kind of the difference there. It's just however you use the tool to tell the right story.
Motion graphics is usually text. Animation is going to be the creation of images, drawing on screen, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, correct.
All right.
Yep.
All right, pretty cool. All right, so that's the sixth one. The seventh one is to dial your personality up to 11.
It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah.
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
All right. So now that we're dialed up to 11...
That was good, Christo. That was really good. Yeah, if you dial up to 11, you can... be larger than life on that camera. You hold people's attention. Take a few moments and make sure you go to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/81. I'm going to put a video there of Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, okay? Because Gary does probably a better job than anybody I've ever seen really making himself larger than life and pop out of that screen. And he just pushes it up one more level. You know, I've had the privilege of working with many of the greatest communicators of a generation. And the one thing that I know about them is when they talk, they speak with passion. They speak with conviction and with authority. They don't use sayings like, I think, right? Because that's kind of... That isn't the term that somebody who knows for a fact uses. So when you're on camera, dial up Gary V style to 11, take it one step further, and make sure that you're engaging and you're going to hold your audience's attention.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everybody's heard that the camera adds 10 pounds. Well, the camera also takes away 10% of your personality. So you've got to replace that by being big. You know, if anybody knows any theater stuff, they say the same thing. You know, you've got to, you know, for the audience to receive that performance, you've got to dial it up past what you would normally think is your highest energy or your, you know, your most passion.
And don't think that you don't have an opportunity to review all this stuff. It's not like you're doing it on the Today Show and, you know, everybody in front of their televisions is going to see it. The beauty of video is you can do this and you can practice multiple times in front of your own webcam until you get the level that you're looking for, where you're not embarrassing yourself, but yet you're still being engaging. And so you'll see people that will be more animated with their hands. They might speak louder. Some people move in closer to the camera, back out. And so they're creating different dynamics. I want you to play with it as you're practicing. Practice makes perfect, but definitely dial your personality up to 11.
Yeah, and it's not about being big and flashy and not yourself. You want to be yourself and authentic. You just want to be present that best you.
So no Don King hair, no rhinestone jacket, right?
If that's your natural personality, go ahead and do that. But while you're on camera, you want your personality to shine through. You want your energy and your passion to shine through. So you really have to focus and kick those things up.
But authenticity is the key.
Authenticity is the key there.
Right, because people will sniff that out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, dial up to 11. That's how we do it. Hey, Randy, that's your notification that you're at the halfway point of this podcast. At this point, turn around, start heading home. The eighth element is to tighten your script for clarity and conciseness. I want you to avoid repetition. Crystal, I think this is super important. When I do my video tips, I've noticed that I use this one word more often than other words, and it's significantly. I use significantly, significantly more often than other words. And so as I'm going through it, I need to know what are those words that I'm overusing. And if I write a script, which I often roll off of a script, I want to make sure that that script has really nice clarity and I want to avoid repetition. What happens if I don't?
Well, an audience is really looking for you to get to the point. You've promised them something in the headline of that video. You've promised that they're click the play button because they want something from that video. They want some information. They want some takeaway. So you have to give that to them right away. And if a video goes off topic, trails along, you're going to lose them really, really quickly. So stay on topic. Keep it clear. Keep it concise. And scripting or outlining really helps that. Keeps your flow. So maybe think about what's the logical steps for me to communicate this information in so I lead them through the right path instead of bouncing around the topic where they might have to kind of think of like, how do I put this all together? You want to do all the work and the heavy lifting for your audience so they don't have to do it themselves.
And if you waste their time, they will be less likely to invest time in you the next time, right?
That's
get
correct.
To the point, be precise and concise, and you will win over your audience.
Every time, yeah.
All right, well, let's take our own advice. Let's bounce to the next one, which is get to the point in the first 10 seconds to earn more attention. I think this is interesting because, remember, we talked earlier about the music and how these top 100 songs used to be, lyrics would start 22 seconds after somebody just riffed on a guitar, right? But now it's more of a mature audience. Get to the point in 5 seconds. We've noticed that if our clients bring us videos, this happens all the time. Somebody had a video created by a non-video marketer that doesn't look into audience analytics and doesn't understand the digital marketing savvy or the digital savvy of an online audience, and they create television commercials. We've noticed that people have called us and they've been like, hey, Todd, how do I resurrect this video? It's not converting. And when we go and look at the video, like I've had this example with Marcus Krieg, who you heard earlier in the podcast. Marcus and I watched the video. Within the first 10 seconds, we already know what the critical flaw of the video is. And that is that they waited 25 seconds to start telling you anything about the video. This isn't a Geico commercial.
Yeah. You think your video is fighting for not just that one person's attention, your video is fighting for people's attention across all the other videos on the internet, which is like right now, like countless. I don't even know how there's enough server space in the world to accommodate all this content. Right. But there's a lot of competition out there. So you have to get to the point really quickly to keep those people engaged. And we do a lot of ad videos, and you don't have much time before that person's able to click that skip button.
Gone.
So you need to like communicate that information really, really quickly.
All right. So we're going to give you a tip, and it's actually the 10th item of gaining attention. And the tip is deliver your best material first and last. Think U-shape. So you notice when we're doing our podcast, when we're doing a video, we're going to tease at the beginning, and then we're going to give you our point right away, our best material first, and then we're going to close out by kind of doing a summation of that. This is a U-shaped curve. At the top of the U, you're going to tease. At the other top of the U, on the other side, you're going to reinforce. Make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm sure there's more science and psychology that goes into this, but I think it's a little bit of that trust building there. If you're going to give me your best information first and not expecting me to sit around till the end to hear your genius thought, I think for me, that's a credibility thing. And you know, like I said, there might be some more psychology or
yeah, some people think they're building.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're building, you know, like they're Mozart or something, and they're going to tease, and then drop the most valuable at the end, when you really should be dropping the value at the beginning and then explaining it later on and then reinforcing it before you say later.
Yeah. And that might work for your House of Cards show or, you know, those others that build the tension and build right. The excitement. But I think for your online videos, for your business videos, for videos that you want your audience to take action on, you know, give it to them right away.
Absolutely. All right. So you want to deliver your best message and material first and last. That's number 10. Number 11 is, well, this is devoted just to longer videos. For longer videos, like 5 minutes plus, we want you to add stories, metaphors, examples to re-engage without cutting out important content. Now, the reason I add stories is I want to make sure that if I've got a life story that's related, I can pull you back in. Notice how we did the story about the top 100 songs from a decade ago and what they are now and the difference in the audience. We use that story. Often, I like to use metaphors. When I use metaphors, I'm re-engaging your brain, bringing you back into the topic and helping you see this topic through another visual representation. Super powerful. And examples to re-engage without cutting out important content. So reinforce, but make sure you aren't leaving some of that important information on the editing room floor or not providing it at all.
Mm-hmm. And people love real-world context. I remember, you know, some of my favorite teachers kind of taught the textbook way. Okay, like, here's what the textbook says, how to... And then they related it to your real life. Oh, have you ever been, you know, like, at the mall and, you know, the kiosk lady comes up to you? You know, whatever it is, you're like, oh, now I get it. Now this makes sense. Now it clicks. So that's what you want to do with your audience. They may not get the straightforward way of explaining something to them. So give them something else that they can relate to.
All right, I'm going to give you my two favorite video marketing metaphors.
Okay.
While we're on this topic.
Here we go.
The number one thing that businesses do to screw up their video is they make their video like a Chipotle burrito, where they just start throwing in as much as they can possibly jam into that one video. And as we all know with Chipotle burritos, if you add too much, the context of the burrito, what holds it all together, starts to fall apart. So if you want to have a really good, compelling video, think more like an enchilada than a big-ass Chipotle burrito.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's one, right? They visually
small,
get
that. Digestible.
Small, digestible.
But delicious.
And then the next one is, this is how I teach people about Google. If you want to dominate Google in search results, you need to understand that Google is basically a supply and demand engine. When somebody gets onto Google, your target customer, what they're doing with their fingers is exercising demand for information. And the way you get found is you supply that information. By supplying it, they discover you. You develop a relationship. That's always helpful information, which helps you go viral to that target audience. So if you want to dominate Google, think supply and demand.
I like it. I'm going back to your Chipotle example. Well, a little bit. It's late in the afternoon. It's snack time.
Do it.
But, you know, every time the team here goes to lunch at Chipotle, there's always like, you know, leftover burritos in the refrigerator because nobody can finish it. And, you know, you want somebody to finish your whole video. You don't want to give them too much where they're like, I got to put this away and come back to it later. Because odds are it'll grow moldy in the refrigerator and never be finished.
That's beautiful. I just stole that. I'll use it the next time I'm speaking. Love that, Christo. All right. So for longer videos, we want you to add stories, metaphors, examples to re-engage without cutting out important content. And in these longer videos, it's even more important to do all of the items that we're talking about before. Use animation and motion graphics wherever relevant, right? Make sure that if you're visually explaining something or using a metaphor, shoot some B-roll of that metaphor so it resonates and people see it. Picture the Chipotle thing. If I'm explaining it in a video, I should be shooting B-roll of the dude behind the counter making that burrito, and then they always ask you, do you want the guacamole for a dollar more? You got to add those things because all those visual elements help people understand the greater context.
Randy's probably getting hungry on his run or walk right now.
He probably is. Right on, Randy's earning some Chipotle right about now.
Exactly.
All right, so content length. Super important when you're trying to hold the attention. And this is the 12th one. We want your videos to be long enough to deliver the promise in your headline, your topic, and no longer, all right? If you want to expand the video, if the topic grows, you know, you really should consider a second video. So let me give you an example. If I was doing a video on why video marketing, I could literally talk, and you guys know as listeners, for 89 episodes or whatever, right?
And beyond.
And beyond.
To 89 episodes and
beyond. I could easily do that. And don't dare me. But if you want people to ingest the video, you should make sure that that video is long enough to deliver the promise of why video marketing at a high level. And then if you want to get into the tactics, create a separate video on the tactics for successful video marketing. Do you buy that, Christo?
I buy all of that.
So when you're creating that video, make sure that you're living up to the promise that your headline and title is claiming to provide. Right? If your title is like the why video marketing, but you're giving somebody a course on video marketing, your online metrics are going to be off. It's not going to resonate with the audience. That's not what they clicked on. If they want to know why video marketing, give it to them, make it really, really good and not a second longer.
Yeah. One additional thought is, you know, a lot of these other tips we've given today kind of lead into this 12th tip. So if you're scripting clear and concise, you know, that will dictate the length of your video anyways. That's the appropriate length for that video because you've given the information you need to for that one clear, concise topic. U-shaped content, you know, that will help frame the length of your content. So if you follow a lot of these other tips, it'll help you get that ideal length.
I script out what I'm doing. Like when I do the podcast, I've got some notes in front of me. Like, you know, I've got a big brain, but I got a lot of stuff rolling around in this dome. And I want to make sure that I can be concise. And the one way that I know I can be concise is if I write out or do some bullet points of what I want to cover. And so I don't miss anything. But when I'm looking at it on paper, I can also go, that's fat, get rid of it. I only want, you know, lean meat all the way through. And so when I'm done with my script or my outline, I bounce it over to the appropriate member of the team. And in your office, you have people that specialize in different parts of your business. Bounce the script over and go, hey, Marcus, don't do this to my Marcus. Hey, Marcus, because I'm already doing it to him. What can I remove out of this? What's unnecessary that actually makes people lose attention because I'm giving them too much detail? And then he cuts, cuts, cuts. And the next thing I know, I've got a clean, concise video. Often it's really hard for somebody to edit and downsize their own material because we all want to show everybody how friggin' brilliant we are. So give it to somebody who's emotionally detached, that doesn't have anything to gain except to help you be the best representation of yourself. And before you know it, your script will start to tighten down and you can be more concise for people.
Yeah, everything applies in video that it does in other content forms. It's like if you're writing, you know, they have the kill your darling sayings.
Right.
You know, don't hold on to everything because you think it needs to be in there. Odds are is you could probably lose a couple things and it'd be much stronger without it. Or the other metaphor is for outfits. They say, you know, take one accessory off before you leave the door because you don't need everything. You know, to convey the right message, you might need less.
It's funny you bring this up. You know, my mom's a designer of celebrity homes in LA, and my mom's theory is really about simplicity and not to overclutter, and that most designers can't get out of their own way, so they keep adding more things, and before you know it, it's now a museum and not like a place that's got nice flow and energy around it.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and you think all those other things are distracting. So what do you want your viewer to focus on? What do you want your audience to focus on? Just include those things.
Yeah.
Because you can always make more videos. You can always make more content to deliver additional messages. And odds are your audience will want to consume those things in small little chunks on their time than to try and get it all at once.
All right. So we've done a summary throughout the whole episode. I'm going to do a quick one for you. Make sure you're conscious about audio quality. It's super important. Lighting, I want you to use captions. Switch camera angles whenever possible. Do it frequently. Think 4 or 5 seconds. And but always do it at the right spot. When you start editing, you'll start to feel what the right spot is. We want you to use B-roll to tell a more compelling story and to hold people's attention. Use animation and motion graphics to create movement. It visually stimulates the eye. It also can help people see more, or you could visually be showing more than you're telling. I want you to dial your personality up to 11 and make sure you tighten your script for clarity, avoid repetition, get to the point in the first 10 seconds of that video. Just get right down to it. Deliver your best material first and last. Think U-shape. For longer videos, like 5-minute videos, I want you to add stories, metaphors, examples to re-engage without cutting out important content. And then when it comes to content length, I want your videos to be long enough to deliver the promise in your headline or your topic title and not a second longer. Sound good? All right. Well, that's been a great episode. We have coming up the news in the next episode, but if you want to get access to this episode, I have created a show notes page, and on that show notes page, which is wirebuzz.com/81, you'll get all the information that we're discussing. An easy way to remember 81. Well, the Dodgers were in the World Series, the Oakland Raiders, before they went to Los Angeles, I believe, and then back to Oakland and then to Vegas, won the Super Bowl. The Celtics won the NBA championship, and John McEnroe and Chris Everett won Wimbledon. That was a pretty cool year for you to get access to the notes, wirebuzz.com/81. If this podcast episode was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Leave us a really honest rating and review. We'll often read them on this podcast, good or bad, hate mail or not. It'll go right to the front of the list like you saw in this here episode. And then hit the subscribe button just once, no matter how passionate you are. Just hit it once, and we will make sure that every episode gets sent directly to your mobile device. All right, well, that's the episode. My goal behind the scenes is to find new tactics for you. You know, we have one episode that's going to be about tactics, another episode each week that's going to be about the latest video marketing news. And you're not going to want to miss the next episode 82, because we're actually going to be talking about a head of state, the leader of a country, dropping in to one of the video marketing juggernaut companies today. And you're going to get an exclusive interview in episode 82. So That's the episode, Use the Tactics to Be a Better Marketer, and for your team, you will be a video marketing master. Yeah, I know this wasn't a full hour and a half. We didn't get Randy's full walk. He didn't want to do the full walk anyway.
He's going to 11.